It is so good to have the opportunity to come and speak here. There should be some disclaimer. First of all, I come bringing the Word of God. I'm not bringing myself. When I come, I bring the book. Because if I don't bring the book, then I'm asking you to follow me. And neighbor, I don't need anybody to follow me. I'm doing well to take care of my own self. That's the truth of it. But I want you to bear with me here this morning. I want you to look at some things with me. And let's see if I can... Which one of these do I push? But rather just enter? No. Watch. Huh? Enter. Ooh. Now this question, I know, so it's magical. This question is one that I've asked myself many times. Because I've studied with my Pentecostal friends, and I do have Pentecostal friends, and those are the Assembly of God, and those are the different holiness movements, and they're friends of mine. I want to let you know that right now, up front. I'm not here to be ugly to anybody, but I want to preach the Word of God. I want you to listen to what God says. I want you to hear what Jesus says. I want to hear what Paul says. I want you to hear what Peter says. I want you to understand what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit. Why doesn't the Holy Spirit of God speak to me as others claim He speaks to them? Why doesn't He talk with me? Now, I have been told by my friends sometimes because I don't have enough faith. Well, and I say to them, but my friend, Romans 10:17 tells me that faith comes by hearing, and hearing with the Word of God. That's what the book says. And I want to know why it is that God Almighty would send His Spirit to you and speak to you and not speak to me. Now, I haven't done anything bad to God that I know of, although I've done some ugly things. But I ask God's forgiveness, and I know and am persuaded from the Scriptures that God is no respecter of persons, and He never has been. He's no respecter of persons. Whatever He'd tell you, or whatever He'd tell me, let's try it this way. Whatever He'd tell me, I know He'd tell you. Whatever He'd tell you, I know He'd tell me. But you see, we should be on the same page in the Bible. We should be the ones that are looking to the Scriptures to understand what does the Bible teach. Watch, if you will, that is it really a lack of faith that I don't have a direct operation of the Holy Spirit? Is that really a lack of my faith on my part that God's not talking to me miraculously? Now, let me make something else very clear for the beginning of this. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God answers prayers in this world. I know it's so. I know. And you know I know. And the truth of that also is I also know, as I consider, the fact that I believe in the providence of God. I believe in the fact that there are many here this morning that are here, they might hear this message, but right now. Because they need to hear this. This is something they need to consider in their own souls. Not because Dennis is right, but because the Bible is right. The things of the Scriptures, what they say. Are you with me? Follow this with me if you will. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times, watch this, in various ways, I'll turn over here in my Bible, give you time to follow here. Here's maybe one of the problems that my dear wife told me. She said, Dennis, don't use overhead. It just gets in your way. I said, well, you're probably right about that. But sometimes it's good to have this to kind of follow along with the Scriptures. Now watch this, if you will, in your Bible, hopefully you're following. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, and whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Now the thing, I'm going to stop right there, because so many times people don't understand that we're in the last days. That's one of the first things I tell them to briefly turn over to Luke 16:16. Now look at Luke 16:16. I'll show you the Scriptures what it says. Luke 16:16. I'm not talking about Mark 16:16. Luke 16:16. This is one we ought to have memorized. Luke 16:16. Turn over there with me, please. Luke 16:16. What did Jesus say? Interesting statement. Watch this. And He says, the law and the prophets were until John. We said in Isaiah this morning. The law and the prophets. The law was given to Moses, the children of Israel, and the prophets. The law and the prophets were until John. That's John the Baptizer. And since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And everyone is pressing into it. And I want you to notice the fact that there's been a change of dispensation. We're in the last days. We've been in the last days since the Apostle Peter and the apostles got up, as I recorded in Acts, the second chapter, and they said, as Peter said, what you see here. These men are not drunk like you think they are. No. No, no. This is that which the prophet Joel said in the last days. In the last days, your children shall dream dreams or see visions. And that happened. I believe it did. I believe every miracle that I read about in the New Testament. I believe it happened. I believe in the Old Testament too. I believe all the miracles I've read, I believe they all happened. I believe God worked those miracles for a very specific purpose, as did Jesus. But now, not considering what I believe, but Jesus had a promise made to him by his Father in heaven that the Holy Spirit would guide his apostles into all the truth. Turn to John 16, verses 12 through 14. Watch this with me here. John 16, verse 12 through 15. I'm not going to have it all here, but John, look at John. John 16. Right. 16 verses 12 through 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Is that what your Bible says? I want to be sure it says that. Jesus said to the apostles, that's who He's talking to, He said, and when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority. So now we see that you can't have the Holy Spirit doing something that He wants to do. He may only do what God told Him to do. He may only do what God promised Jesus He would do and did. So He says, you mean the Holy Spirit in the world today? He isn't through the Word. He most certainly is. Absolutely He is. And that's why I tell you, God wouldn't tell me something He wouldn't tell you. I'm no higher than anybody else. I'm just a man. Just a man. I'm a man of flesh. I sin. I have things that are wrong in my life. But I trust in the Lord. I trust in the blood of Jesus. I strive to do the right thing that pleases Him. But I wouldn't know what the right thing is without the Holy Spirit teaching me through the Word. I could not be here this morning and say anything to you had it not been the Holy Spirit preaching, teaching me through the Word of God. I'm not just a product of a whole lot of preachers or some preaching school somewhere. I'm the product of many faithful Christians over many, many years who studied their Bible and loved the Lord and taught me the same things, and I thank the Lord for them. And hopefully I'm doing the same thing today, because this is what we are here for as Christians. We're to live in a way that is right, that would lead our young people, not just the young people, everyone around us. Notice, if you will, this is the thing that is important for, He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And He will tell you things to come. Who will He tell? Apostles. What part of all truth don't we understand? All truth. That means, my friend, that Latter-day Revelation just does not exist. I don't care what Joseph Smith said he saw. I don't care what Mary Baker Eddy or any of the other, whoever they may be, wherever they may stand, or whatever they may have said. I don't care about that. I care what the Bible says. I care what Jesus told His apostles. He said, He's going to guide you into all the truth. And so God did us in all the truth. Apostles, Word of God. That's what He's going to do. And a lot of times people just don't seem to understand this, because as I speak to them this way, they get upset with me, and I'll tell you why they get upset with me, because I'm taking away their power. You hear what I said? I'm taking away their power, because when they believe they have a special gift, a power of the Holy Spirit, that is powerful in their lives. But my question to them is, where in the book do you read this? Where in the book do you find such a thing? Please tell me. I want to know. Well, listen, I'd love to stop studying the Bible. Well, not really. But I like to let the Holy Spirit just come and just, have the knowledge. I went to school. I even went to college. Can't believe that you let me into college. But the truth is, though, I still had to study. I still had to read books. I still had to listen to teachers. I actually had to do those things. And today, some of our teachers, look at Sharon, they still indwell us. They indwell us, although they're passed away, yet these teachers still indwell us. They come to mind. Tina Reynolds come to mind. It's just all kinds of people. But you know why? Because there was an influence on me through those people. And my mother and father influence, my grandparents influence. We have influences all around us, brethren. But the truth is, hopefully we remember the right influences, not the wrong ones. Some people in the church, Christians, they tend to look at the wrong things. They don't look at the good things, they look at the wrong things. And that's why they're being led in a way they shouldn't go. That's why they dismissed God's word and dismissed the church as being the bride of Christ. They dismissed it as a bunch of hypocrites. Well, let me tell you something, neighbor. To hide behind a hypocrite this tall, you've got to be this tall. It takes a lot to hide behind a hypocrite. Let me tell you something. Jesus died so the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, would be sent upon the apostles. Now, let me get on with this. Notice it, if you will. Someone was saying to me, but Dennis, what about the sincerity of those that claim they have the power of the Holy Spirit to lay on hands and do other miracles? My question would be, why would they have this power that was only promised to the apostles of the Lord? You see, all truth, as we're here, it negates any latter-day revelation. If you don't understand about latter-day revelation, you ask me later, we'll talk about it. That's where people stand up and say, well, God told me. Let me tell you something. When I saw a TV evangelist, and I didn't watch them very often because they kind of made me want to throw up. But, you know, I was watching that TV evangelist. I was naming, no need naming. Then somebody said, well, I was lucky what he said. Now, no matter what he said, but one day he said this. He said, wait a minute. God's telling me something. Click. Off it went. I turned that mess off. That's a mess. That's not the truth. God didn't speak like that. God didn't work like that. He sent his son to die on the cross so that his word would be established in this dark world by the Holy Spirit that was given to the apostles and the prophets. That's what he did. Did what he said to do. He did it. He kept his word. Did exactly what he said he would do. Well, now, let me ask you a question. Just one more thing I need to say about this. Romans 10. Turn over to Romans, the 10th chapter. In Romans, the 10th chapter. Let's see if I did that. Let's see. Because I'm asking the question, what about the sincere in heart? Because I believe they're sincere. Brethren, I do believe. I stayed with a lady that came from India, other side of the world, once. And she said, well, when my mother passed away, I was sitting by her side. And I saw Jesus came and he told me some things. And I said, well, now what are you going to say to that? I said, well, I don't doubt you saw something. I just doubt your interpretation of it. I don't doubt you saw something. We've all seen all kinds of strange things. Now, have we not? We've had all kinds of strange dreams, you know. Have we not? Visions, maybe. I hope not. A lot of people smoke a lot of dope sometimes. It seems some visions. It kind of worries me a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you now, people say, I have a vision. I'm going to tell you something. The only vision I have is from God's Word. When I read Isaiah, I have the vision of Isaiah. God gave him a vision. He tells us what he envisioned, what he saw in the future. I can't tell the future, friends. God hasn't spoken to me that way. God will not speak to me that way. He speaks to his son, Jesus. In the last days, he's spoken to us through his son. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. Well, wait a minute. But what is it, Dennis, that you're saying here? Well, let's try this. What about the sincere? What about the sincere in heart? Well, let me tell you something. For I bear them witness, the Apostle Paul said in Romans, the 10th chapter, he's talking about his own brethren. He's talking about Jewish brethren. I bear them witness. And I want you to listen to the first verse. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. That means they're lost, by the way. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not subjected or submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. That's what's happened. That's what's happening. They've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They're not submitted to the Word of God. In my studies with these friends of mine, I call them friends. I do. They're moral people. Well, probably a lot more moral than some Christians I know. I don't guarantee they're moral people. But the problem is, though, is although they are sincere, and I believe they are, they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're trying to establish their own righteousness. They say, well, Dennis, you're trying to start. No, I'm not. I'm not here today to establish anybody's righteousness but the righteousness of the Lord. And the righteousness of the Lord is established through his word. Not by what you feel or what you think or what you like. That's not. Now, that's the devil talking. See, the devil wants you to believe that you are the center of the universe. And I'm here this morning to tell you that Jesus is. He is the center of the universe. He is the one. Not me. He is the one. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. And I want you to know there with me. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. In fact, I'm going to black that out. We're not going to do that right in this minute. Going back to that minute. First of all, take your Bible out. I want to be sure you got your Bible open. I want you to turn to Luke, the 24th chapter. I want you to look at something very, very, very simple. Very simple. Listen, friends, it's got to be simple for me. I don't know about you, but I got to have something simple. Simple. That's what I need. I need something simple that explains why this is this way. Why is it that people really are convinced in their own heart that God speaks to them, the Holy Spirit speaks to them, apart from the Word of God? I need to know. I want to know. Because Jesus said in Luke, the 24th chapter, he said in the 49th verse, watch it, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, upon the apostles, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on, high. Who did he speak to? Apostles. What did he promise in John 16? Apostles. How much truth? All the truth. How much? All the truth. Now, why did Jesus instruct his apostles to wait in the city of Jerusalem until you're empowered from high? Because in Acts, the second chapter, now look at this, Acts 2. In fact, I will show you Acts, the first chapter. I'll just get to putting these sermons together. You've got to leave verses out because you're thinking, oh, it's going to take too long. Acts, the first chapter. First verse, the former account I'm in Acts 1:1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Second verse, Acts 1:2, until the day in which he was taken up, and after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. How did he talk to them? The Holy Spirit. How did he talk to Dennis today? Through the Word of God. That's where it's at. That's why we can all be on the same page and all understand the same thing, even if it did in the day of Pentecost. Because in Acts, the second chapter, watch this in Acts 2. The 32nd, 33rd verses here in Acts, the second chapter, 32 and 33. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. 33rd verse. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear. See, it happened. It happened on the day of Pentecost. I have no doubt about that. That's what happened. And the people thought they were drunk because they were speaking in tongues. That's right. Tongues that everybody there in that present could understand in their own language. That's what they were doing. Why? How did they have that power? Because God Almighty and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they could speak that way. Why? To get the message out. The message. The men said, well, the glory of God would be in every language. Our own native tongue are we hearing it. Because God could do that. You do remember the Tower of Babel, don't you? Do you remember who messed up the languages to begin with and why they did it? But the thing is, though, is a lot of folks don't seem to understand that God has... Somebody says, well, why did this God just snap his fingers and all be saved? Well, because you have a free will, that's why. Now, God didn't want to write robots. Now, let me tell you something. When you begin to ascribe or buy into this direct operation of the Holy Spirit, you're giving up a free will. Do you understand that? God Almighty does not want a robot. He wants thinking people. People who think. He wants them to think, and he wants to guide them through his scriptures as Jesus died, that we might know the truth and might be free from our sin. Freed from our sins, because we abide in his word. But again, though, is it not interesting to you? I find it interesting as we move on here. And that's just the introduction. I'm just kidding. You know, in Ephesians now, Ephesians 3. Now I'll go to Ephesians 3. I'm sorry. Okay, Well, that's 8 through 10. We're going to start with the first verse. I just want a couple of verses here in Ephesians. Turn over to the book of Ephesians. This is what Paul wrote to the Christians in the church of Ephesus. And he said to them, he said, and look at this. This is Ephesians 3 and verse 1. Watch this with me now. He says, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, of which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Fifth verse. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. How do you reveal it? By the Spirit. What Spirit is that? Holy Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ to the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Eighth verse, Ephesians 3 verse 8, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Watch this now. And to make all see what is the fellowship. I think King James Version is all men. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ to the intent, 10th verse, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. It says that the manifold wisdom of God might be made through the church. Do you hear it? to the church. How's the church going to do that without the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit guided the apostles so they could teach the prophets so they could teach the people. The people, they didn't have a Bible, you know. You're in the first century, you can't be carrying your Bible around with you. Holy Spirit in your mind teaches you the word. But you know what? People who even have that knowledge, they sinned. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Well, I just want to be healed. I don't care enough about all that, Dennis. Well, don't we all? But the thing is that, and God, I pray for people. I don't lay hands on them, though. You know why? Because the only ones who lay on hands, you find over in Acts the 8th chapter, you'll find that there you have Philip preaching, and he did miracles, but then they had to send for the apostles to come lay their hands because Philip could not lay a hand on them, they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what about that? And in the process of that, I'll get this. And in the process of that, they came, and when they laid their hands on, then Simon, who had formerly been a sorcerer because he didn't believe the truth, obeyed the gospel, he says, he offered him money. I'll give you some money so you give me this power. This power so when I lay my hands on these people, they may receive. And you know what Peter said? He said, may your money perish with you. You have no part or portion in this matter. Listen to what Peter said. I mean, that's the 8th chapter now. You know what? And somebody comes to me and said, I'm going to lay my hands on you. I said, well, what did I do? You're going to beat me? What are you going to lay hands on me? What does that mean? I'm not saying I'm making fun of them. I'm telling you, though, they believe. I had a couple of ladies came to visit me while I was in the hospital. Bless their souls. You know, and they knew who I was. They should have known before they came to my room. But anyway, they came to visit me, and that was okay. You know, and then they said, well, we want to pray for you. And I said, that'd be fine. But then they broke out the oil. And I said, oh, maybe not. Maybe not. Because, you see, you don't have that oil or the power to lay hands on nobody in the name of God. Now, you may think you do, and honey, if you've got the full measure of the Spirit, then come on up here. I'm tired of wearing these glasses. I have nothing. Oh, dude, that's just your lack of faith. If you had faith, you'd be able to see. You think my poor ophthalmologist would go broke. Thing about it is, though, is that it's not a lack of faith on my part, even on your part. Do not be taken in by those who tell you they have the power of God, who tell you they have the truth of the Word of God, when it's not. When I can't find it in the book, and I say, please show me in the book, and I'll believe it, I'll obey it, I'll do it. But they're not telling me that. They're saying, well, you just need to have more faith. In fact, I had one gentleman who told me, and I studied a long time with him, and the scriptures, he said, well, Dennis, your problem is you just worship the Bible. That's your problem. You just worship the Bible. I said, well, no. No, I worship Jesus through what the Bible tells me to worship. Oh, you worship the Bible. You're those people that you just throw that Bible away and put your faith in the Holy Spirit. I said, but the only way I can put my faith in the Holy Spirit is by listening to the words that He spoke. How in the world can I do it otherwise? I don't know how I can do it. Can't do it. Somebody says, well, one thing you convinced me of this morning, Dennis, is that if I had a Pentecostal friend or a Pentecostal mother and father, I sure wouldn't call you to talk to them. And yet, I tell them the truth because I love them. I'm not going to tell people a lie. I'm not going to stand up here and act like I'm some great one, which I'm not. And act like God told me something they wouldn't tell you. What in the world is that about? That cannot be right. Even this day do I say that if you don't agree with what I'm saying, that's okay. But you can't disagree with God's Word, though. If you want to come talk to me about that, we're going to talk. But we're going to talk with an open Bible, though. We're going to study the Bible. I'm not going to sit there and pray through and hope the Holy Spirit comes on me or comes on you and we learn the truth. Because the truth has been revealed through the Word. That's what the book teaches. At least that's what I'm reading. Now let's move on. For me. Now, is it not interesting? Is it not interesting? Watch this. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I believe words is implied there, but if you don't believe that, that's okay too. But the thing is, though, is that the Holy Spirit is a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. That's what He does. He teaches through words. That's how He teaches. So he says, well, I don't want to study the Bible. It's just too hard. I said, that's your problem, you see. You don't want something hard. You want something easy. That's a social gospel. You want something easy. something that makes you feel good all over, so you can feel good. Let me tell you what. The greatest feeling you'll ever have is when you repent of your sins and you confess Jesus Christ with your mouth as the Son of God. And you're buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins. You're raised to walk in newness of life. And you're a New Testament Christian. And my friend, you stand as a bright and shining light to everyone in the world around you. You teach them, you show them from the Scripture about your life and to the things that you teach them. Where they ought to go, what they ought to do. They'll say, well, you're really in the telling business, aren't you? I said, no, sir. The Bible's in the telling business. Let me go back to the Bible. Oh, yeah, he works at the Bible. This one fellow I worked with one time, he and I, we studied. Older man, I was very respectful to him, and I would be respectful to an older man. Now that I am an older man, I'd be more respectful, I think. But I was respectful to him. We worked together. We worked together as janitors. I was a janitor, not a custodian, a janitor. And I want to tell you something. And when we worked together, you know, and he would say, Dennis, you won't believe this. And when he said that, I said, well, probably not. But he said, well, okay, what? He said, well, my pastor knew a fellow over in the Philippines who knew a fellow who knew a fellow, and this fellow, they know, they would swear that this man tells the truth, that he raised the dead. I said, well, you got me right there. How can I doubt anything like that? When it's come to four, five, six different people, excuse me, you might as well just follow me. Hang it up, neighbor, and follow me. Just follow me. In fact, just give me your money. I mean, this is the thing that you've got going on here. Don't you understand? These people who will teach you or try to teach you without the Bible, there's something wrong, neighbor. There's something very wrong. That's the work of the devil. If you don't believe that, you just study your Bible and you'll see how Satan works. He blinds the minds of the unbelieving. From what does he blind them? From the Word of God. Why is it did those apostles or prophets or Christians of the first century have a choice in what the Holy Spirit did to them? Did you know they had a choice? You never heard this, have you? They had a choice. What do you mean they had a choice? They had a choice. Look at 1 John, the second chapter. Will you stay with me here? Look at 1 John 2. Now listen to this. If you're going to follow your Bible very carefully. Read the words with me. First John 2. Watch this now. 1 John, the second chapter, starting with the 24th verse, is what it says. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. You have something underlined with? Underline the word heard. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He's promised us, eternal life. These things, 26th verse, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing, 27th verse, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. All right, well, there it is. Holy Spirit's in you. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. But what did He say previous to this? He said in the 24th verse, therefore let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, because it's possible you might not. Because the Holy Spirit never took over anybody against their will. Never made anybody do anything. No, that's not what He does. Jesus told you what He does. What He was promised by His Father. And He did that. But now the thing is that people still, they go, well, now I don't know. I just have a bad feeling about this. You're just trying to take away from, you know, Jude, the third verse, it just simply says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. That contend means to fight. Earnestly for the faith, which was how many times? Was once for all delivered to the saints. What does Galatians, the first chapter, say? Anytime the Mormon elders, you know, those young men that say they're elders, you know, they come on their bicycle. They're very polite young men. I've never had any that were ugly. Very polite. They came to my door and they said, we're here to talk to you about Joseph Smith. And I said, I'm here to talk to you about God's Word. So they said, well, we believe the Bible. Really? Well, we believe the Bible in the Book of Mormon. I said, funny thing, the Bible doesn't mention the Book of Mormon at all. So what y'all going to go with? But I said, well, let's read Galatians 1. And usually I have to read this chapter, there's a few verses with them, then they don't come back to my house. Galatians 1, which I find that sad, because they ought to listen to what the Bible is saying, not what men tell them, what God says. Paul said, Galatians 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But they can't pervert it unless you let them. Don't you see what he's saying? But even if we, Paul, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now so I now say again, if anyone preaches any gospel to you, then what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. You listening? What he's saying to them, to the Galatians, churches of Galatia, that's what he's talking about. He's saying, listen, God has revealed his Son through his Holy Spirit, and these are the words. And you're letting people pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. In your mind, you're letting them do that. Because they think that they have the power. They have convinced you they got the power. Well, notice, if you will, that in all of this, we come down finally to this. 1 Corinthians 13. Yes, love chapter, I know. Love chapter. I hope people say it's the love chapter. I go, well, okay. Love chapter. But you know what? Love never fails. Did you know that? I'm going to get over here to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to take the time. I want you to turn your Bible. I want you to look at this. He says, oh, I know all that. Do you? 1 Corinthians 13, starting with the first verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I don't speak in tongues, because the Holy Spirit doesn't move upon me to make me speak in a language other than English. I'm doing well with the English language, quite frankly. But I guarantee you, if the Holy Spirit was doing that, I would have a perfect knowledge, and language, the language would be perfect. German, French, Russian, it would be there. But if I don't have love, Paul said, if I have all the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, in the 8th verse of this same 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Are you there with me, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8? I want you to listen to what Paul's saying. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And the thing about it is, the lesson's yours. That's the point. So he says, well, you church Christ, you always rest everything about the Holy Spirit on 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. No, I don't. I just showed you this morning I don't do that. I'll use the words of the Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. I'll talk about what God promised him and how he received the promise. How the promise was made to the apostles, to guide them into what? All the truth. That's what it says. I don't see, except that people want to be emotional. And let me tell you something. The scriptures themselves, the Holy Spirit speaking through the scriptures, can bring about tremendous emotion. There's no doubt about that. But never, when I begin to define God's word by my emotions and how I feel about something, I'm in trouble. The devil's got me. Don't you see how it works? The devil's got me. He has got my relatives. He's had my descendants for all the way back. He's got them. When they were whipped up, I'm telling you, they believed they were right. I know they believed. In all their heart, they believed they were right. But they were wrong, because they didn't have the Bible. You don't have the Word of God? You're wrong. If Dennis didn't have the Bible, he's wrong. This is the way it works. So he says, well, you beat up on this time, Dennis. No, I shut this that bad. I never know about these things. If you're not a New Testament Christian, by that I mean you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts, the second chapter, we read earlier. Of course, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We shall repent, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you know, for the remission of your sins, into the remission of sins. And ye, wait a minute, I'll quote the rest. And ye shall inherit Holy Spirit. For it's not to you and as many as far off as the Lord God may call unto himself." How are you going to get the Holy Spirit? How's that going to happen? Because the Holy Spirit taught something. If you obey what it taught, guess what? You got it. It don't got you. You got it. He doesn't bind you, you bind him. Listen to the words of the scriptures. Is it not interesting to you that, and with many other words, did Peter testify to them saying, the 40th verse, 2nd chapter, he said, testify to them saying, save yourselves from the crooked, perverted generation. As many as believed that word, they were baptized, both men and women. And in the 47th verse of that same 2nd chapter, in the latter part of that 47th verse, it says, and the Lord added to them daily those who are being saved. We don't elect anybody here. We don't decide we like you, so you come on in. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, neighbor. You need to be baptized into Christ. And you, I've been baptized into Christ, you'll be raised to walk in newness of life. Are you ready to, meet the Lord? If you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, you're not ready to meet him. You're not ready. You're not right. Don't you understand that? Time's gone. We need to understand that our neighbors, their time is gone too. We need to teach our neighbors. We need to help them see these things because we love them. She said, love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm telling, love my neighbor and act like he's okay when he's not. Or she's okay when she's not. I need to go to the Bible and say, look, I found something wonderful in the Bible. And the Bible is the truth of God. Won't you listen to what the Bible says? And not every time will they listen, but sometimes they do. And when they do, they're impressed with the Bible. Not with Dennis, not with you, but with the Bible. They're impressed with the words for the power of God. What did Paul say? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For the power of God unto salvation, every man believeth. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith unto faith. That's Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. And as a Christian, one who's obeyed the gospel, have you fallen away? Are you in sin? Do you need to repent of those things? And ask, and we will pray with you and for you. Not because we're better, but because we won't go to heaven when we die. That's the reason why. Nobody here is perfect. I know, not me. It says my grandchildren, I'll tell you. I guarantee you. But I know something who is perfect, Jesus. Jesus is perfect. And what he paid was a terrible price, so you'll be free. What's your need this morning? Won't you make it known? Won't we stand and won't we sing? Sing, won't you come?